It began with a dream. As mind became one with the machine, our consciousness was immersed in a digital reality as real as any other. We struggled to keep spirit alive, but saturated by media, we lost our ability to dream and longed for escape from the ravaged earth. And so, it was given to us. A portal into a world of designer dreams, crafted for our escape. All who could afford the delights of the virtual fulfilled their desires in a realm of endless possibilities. A new breed of performer was born, whose dreams would be the opiate for the masses.
Hi, my name is Randy. I will be your host for this, my 39th podcast, my 39th episode of Infotainment. I'd like to welcome you, and especially you to the program today. And I'd also like to thank all my foreign fans. Welcome to all the fun, festivities, and frivolity that my regular listeners have come to love. Without further introduction, let's get started, shall we? A Florida man complains the cops stole his 91 weed plants, gets arrested for growing 91 weed plants. You just can't make this stuff up. Boyd Gene Wiley, a 47-year-old Florida man, who apparently really loves him some weed, marched into a local sheriff's office Monday and accused detectives of stealing his massive crop of marijuana plants, police said. Wiley wanted to complain to his supervisor that he was growing medical marijuana, but since that's still totally illegal in Florida, the man was arrested on the spot. A housing code enforcement officer spotted a few plants during a routine inspection of Wiley's property last Friday, according to the sheriff's office. When a group of detectives drove over to see what was up, they found 91 marijuana plants and spent the next few hours eradicating them. The detectives have been trying to track down who owned the property for a few days when Wiley walked into the sheriff's office to complain about his stolen weed and pegged the blame on the cops. He was arrested on production of marijuana charges, which is a felony, and was released on a $1,004 bond later that night. Somehow the fiasco didn't end there. On Thursday, Wiley was arrested for the second time after he allegedly slammed a neighbor who owed him money over the head with a shovel. He called the cops again, this time to let them know he had been hit in the face during the brawl. Wiley was arrested for aggravated battery and again released on bail. Boy, that's when you know you're having a bad day. Canada police apologize after sex talk broadcast from helicopter. Police in the Canadian city of Winnipeg apologized on Tuesday after a lewd conversation about sex was broadcast from the loudspeakers of a police helicopter to a neighborhood below. Officers on a routine helicopter patrol on Monday night inadvertently activated the aircraft's public address system while they were having a private conversation, the Winnipeg Police Service said in a statement. Some content of the conversation was inappropriate. The involved members were not able to hear the public address system from within the aircraft. They became aware of their conversation had been broadcast and immediately turned the system off, the police said. News of the R-rated conversation took off on Twitter as the city's residents who could hear the conversation took to social media to urge the police to turn off their loudspeaker. Pilots in the Winnipeg police helicopter having a conversation with their loudspeaker on, pretty funny to hear, tweeted one resident. Does the Winnipeg chopper realize the entire West End can hear their conversation about blowjobs right now? Tweeted another who noted she was listening from her backyard. The police service said the incident was being reviewed. Hey, you leave some kids playing in the backyard. Yeah, they're talking about blowjobs. My next news story comes from USNews.com, and it's from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Authorities say a man drove under the influence of alcohol to a small Kentucky police station where he requested that officers arrest him. The Kentucky New Era reports that 26-year-old Christopher L. Stewart drove to Tuesday night to the station in Hopkinsville near the Tennessee border and slammed on his brakes, nearly hitting a police cruiser. The newspaper reports that Stewart approached officers and said he was ready to go to jail for DUI. The police said he told police he drank a pint before driving to the station. Police say Stewart also attempted to drink a closed bottle of fuel injector cleaning fluid, but officers stopped him. He was charged with driving under the influence. It was unclear whether he had lawyers to contact for comment on this case. Boy, that's when you know you're having a bad day, when you try to drink what did he do? Wait a minute here. He tried to drink a fuel injector cleaning fluid. Oh, my God. That's when you know you have a problem. My next news item is one that might be of interest to some of you. Sorry, guys, but powdered alcohol is now illegal in New York. Looks like teenagers in New York will just have to keep sneaking alcohol from their parents' liquor cabinets in the old-fashioned way. On Friday, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation that outlaws the sale of powdered alcohol, a.k.a. Palcohol, in the state of New York. Even though the Federal Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau approved food labels for Palcohol back in March, New York is joining roughly half the states in the union in outlawing the powdered booze. New York law, which prohibits the sale of any powdered or crystalline alcohol products, deems them dangerous and completely unnecessary items. The legislation also urges that in its powdered form, alcohol is easily concealed, making it dangerously simple for underage kids to get their hands on it and smuggle it into venues where drinking is prohibited. The stealth aspect also worried lawmakers concerned about teens measuring out appropriate doses, which has been an issue in states like Colorado, where marijuana edibles are all over the place. One packet of Palcohol, which comes in 5 flavors, including rum, vodka, and a powderita flavor, is equal to about 1 shot of liquid alcohol when mixed with water. While supporters of the product urge that its potential applications in medicine and select outdoor activities, manufacturers have faced an uphill battle finding shelf space in commercial stores. Just get your booze in powdered form. Never really thought of that. I didn't even know that was a product. My next item for your consideration is how witchcraft is empowering queer and trans young people. Maybe Bruce Jenner, I guess, is now Caitlyn Jenner, by all reports. And is going to go through the whole female thing. Maybe he should come out as a witch if he wants to improve his ratings on his ETV show. But they say some of these people are turning to witchcraft. Over the course of the 20th century, the popular idea of the witch underwent a transformation. Gone is the baby-eating, Satan-worshipping hag of medieval Europe. And in this place has emerged the ideal of female healers. Second wave feminists seeking a strong female subject latched onto the witch as the embodiment of feminine power. Witchcraft entered the feminist consciousness spiritually through traditions like Wicca and politically as groups like Witch, the Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell. I never heard of that organization. Publicly hexed everything from beauty pageants to fees for public transit. Yet, while the revival empowered some, it excluded others. Many of the groups that emerged were reserved for women. But the idea of the witch has come a long way since then. Witchcraft is seeing a resurgence among queer-identified young people seeking a powerful identity that celebrates the freedom to choose who you are. Soft-spoken and covered in tattoos, Colby Goddard doesn't exactly fit the stereotypical image of the witch, but Goddard's been known to launch into a ritual when the moment is right, and is identifying as a witch appeals to Goddard's self-possessed, strange exhibitionist quality by playing with the people's perceived notion of tattoos, Goddard's non-binary gender identity, and how a witch should look. Goddard first discovered witchcraft as a teenage boy growing up in rural Nova Scotia in the 1990s. The message of self-acceptance and personal freedom Goddard encountered in books from the 70s and 80s allowed them to explore a queer identity in a space free from shame and guilt. Those were my first steps in embracing my own sexuality and the first glimpses of exploring my gender, Goddard told Vice via Skype from Vancouver, British Columbia. Yeah, there's a picture of him, I believe. It was one of the pictures. But it looks like he's a female in part of the picture, but then he's got a full beard, too. It's a really odd-looking photo. Let me go back to where I was here and give me a moment. Hey, you're getting this stuff for free, so don't complain too much. But it wasn't a perfect match. The witchcraft tradition Goddard had discovered was founded on a male-female binary, which didn't fit with Goddard's developing sense of gender identity. I felt myself in that philosophy, but I didn't see myself in it. As they entered their mid-20s and began identifying as non-binary, Goddard rediscovered witchcraft through queer witches who directed Goddard to more subversive practices. The timing was hardly coincidental. Goddard says the capacity for witchcraft to accommodate alternative expressions of gender is what makes it appealing to a new generation of witches. So I guess they're not off slaughtering animals for rituals. Well, that's a good thing. Jared Russell is part of the new generation. Russell was raised Mormon in the small Nova Scotia town of Pictou. Growing up, he wore skirts, makeup, and nail polish. Well, good for him. Because they made him feel most comfortable in his own skin. Sometimes it was hard. He says he was bullied. But connecting to his identity as a witch has given Russell the license to stand out. Dressing as a witch helps him find strength in the spiritual side of witchcraft, which he says includes spells, celebrating 8 annual equinoxes, and devising his own witchcraft tradition, and in challenging the dominant expectations of gender. It allows myself to express myself without this constant ego filter, he says, when I picture myself as a witch without judgment. Everything just fits. But witchcraft just isn't about identity. It's also about being practical. Dakota Hendricks, a non-binary trans witch based in New York, an identity Hendricks jokingly refers to as a as goat femme, describing their combination of body hair, a smoky eye, and talons for nails, says the practice of witchcraft is a way to take control in a world that can be both metaphysically and mortally threatening. It's a supernatural form of self-defense that Hendrick says includes amulets that fight off misgendering, rituals that provide protection when walking down the street and paying honor to queer and trans ancestors who don't have descendants of their own paying homage. Not to mention, since Hendrick says contemporary witchcraft is connected to social justice work, a hex or two on the NYPD for good measure. Hey, I'm going to hex you. But while these rituals are plentiful, the rules are not. And Hendrick says being a witch is all about choosing one's own path. Being a witch is about being autonomous. That's the whole point. That's how we draw power. We are defying the patriarchy. We are defying the submissive norm. There is no one way to be a witch, says May Rood. It's a really freeing identity. Rood is a Latina witch who was raised Catholic in Idaho, as though she moved away from the church and into witchcraft after she came out as transgender. Her practice is informed by her religious roots. This means a lot of candles, shrines dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe. She's a very queer goddess, Rood says, and traditional Mexican herbal remedies. Rood says that playing with gender by wearing aggressively dark makeup is also part of her witch identity. While individual ornamentation, it may seem superficial, it's as important a ritual as anything else. Identifying as a witch makes her strong, she explains. It's intimidating to be a trans woman of color in public. And the tools and rituals of witchcraft make her feel like she's just as formidable as a culture that would threaten her. In medieval Europe, the idea of the witch was used as a weapon against marginalized people, and the person most likely to be accused of witchcraft was the old crone at the edge of the village. But those roles have been reversed, and that once was used as a weapon against marginalized people is now working to defend them. Witches might still be on the edge, but they're claiming that place for themselves and drawing power from an identity that celebrates defiance while embracing difference. After all, what is being a witch if not owning the right to be yourself? Well, yeah, I think that's what Bruce Jenner should get into. Start being a witch, too. Just really wouldn't that throw the Kardashian girls for a loop? My next news item for your consideration. A Catholic priest said gay sex is like stuffing bagels in your ears. Priests say the darndest things, don't they? Let me pop this news story up. Earlier this week, a bunch of Catholic priests got together in Michigan for a national conference to talk about homosexuality. The 400 priests meetup was called Welcoming and Accompanying Our Brothers and Sisters with Same-Sex Attraction, and it spanned 3 full days. Apparently, the priests had a lot to say about the various stuff people choose to do with their dicks and vaginas and butts. According to Detroit Free Press, popular Detroit priest Reverend John Ricardo took the stage at one point during the conference to share some advice about how to talk about gay issues with young folks who may not have strong opinions about homosexuality. This is a question which is asked by junior high kids. Why does God hate gays? Ricardo says, here's the image that I use. Ricardo reportedly asked the middle school students what they would say if he just ripped a bagel, I take it, and I cram it in my ear. The kids apparently respond, that doesn't go there. Exactly, Ricardo tells them. That will ruin your ear canal. The conference was met with protests by liberal Catholics who were appalled by the way the church still considers homosexuality a disorder. The priests at the conference have a limited view of sexuality. Protester Tom Nelson told the Free Press, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, they seem to be talking about something and talking about sticking bagels in their ears. Sounds like a worthwhile pursuit. I just saw my first episode of the Jim Gaffigan show on TV Land, the comedian who does a bit on bacon and Hot Pockets. I like his stand-up, so I thought I'd like his show. I didn't really laugh at a whole lot, but he's going to weigh 800 pounds if he goes a lot of seasons, because all they do is show him eating. What a great job. Just do what you love and eat your way through it. That's why I think I'd make a great food tester. For those of you fans of fast food and have an occasion to stop at Arby's, you know, the commercial we have. No, let me do this properly. If your children ask you, where do sandwiches come from? You tell them sandwiches come from Arby's. Excuse me, I just had a sneezing fit. I tried their new loaded Italian sandwich the other day. It was really good. So, you got my recommendation. If you go to Arby's, you get the loaded Italian sandwich. I want to have a heart-to-heart with my podcast listeners. I really enjoyed doing this podcast, but I was just frustrated that I don't have more listeners. I don't know if it's my content or what I'm doing wrong, but if you have any suggestions, I'm open to all suggestions, whether they come from the United States or anywhere in the world. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. with your questions, comments, you like the program, or you think it sucks ass, whatever. And by the looks of the clock on the wall, it's time to put this podcast to bed. And I would like to thank my listeners to this program, whether you listen by laptop, desktop, iPad, pod, or phone. MP3 player, Android phone, however you listen, home, work, or car. And you can tweet my Twitters at InfotainmentPod. And what else? I don't want to forget anything else on the back end of the program, you know. Got to make this good. But I hope you have a good week. And we'll talk with you next time. Bye-bye, folks.
high. Sometimes you gotta start low. Some people think they're gonna die someday. I got news, you never got to go.
Look out!
Come on, come on.